Need your daily fix on mixed martial arts?
We're going to kind of recap Bellator 155.
From UFC 198.
Who's who.
Kind of a controversial decision.
And who's not.
I couldn't figure out why, and then it hit me.
Well, don't you fret, because Golden State Media Concepts got you covered. Get your daily dose of MMA podcasts. Everything from the UFC, Bellator Fighting Championships, Extreme Cage Fighting, Invicta Fighting Championships,
and so much more.
Join us as we talk about some of the biggest names in mixed martial arts. We've got you covered here on Golden State Media Concepts MMA Podcast.
All right, now, thank you for tuning in to the GSMC MMA podcast, the UFC 229 post-fight edition. I am your host, Tate, and with me is Hermilo. How you doing there, Hermilo?
Doing great. How about you, Tate?
I don't even know how to tell you how I am with this. UFC 229, which was a spectacular event, ended with a massive, massive black eye. And when I look at this and I step back and I take a look at the situation, I'm going to start off by give you my take on this. I originally picked Khabib to win the fight, and Khabib did win the fight. But the day of the fight, I changed it. The day before the fight, I changed my prediction to Conor, just because I knew how bad Khabib had gotten into, Conor had gotten into Khabib's head. But what transpired after the fight, in my opinion, was just disgusting. It was a great event that ended in such a way that I thought it was the biggest black eye that the UFC has ever received at an event. It reminded me a lot of the Holyfield Mike Tyson fight. Now, that was an absolute crazy event. I was actually supposed to be at that event, but I didn't go. But when you look at what transpired, where after Khabib stopping Conor, and we're going to touch on the fight, Khabib started to yell at Conor, and then he turns around, he takes his mouthpiece out, and he throws it at the fence, and he starts yelling outside the ring, and he's yelling at Conor's corner. Then, out of nowhere, he jumps over the cage, and he actually attacks a member of Conor's camp. Then another crazy thing happened, where one member of Conor's camp came while Conor was on the ground and kind of recovering. One of the members came at Conor. Conor and you know, approached Conor in an aggressive way, like he was going to hit him. Another member jumped over the cage and came from behind and tried to hit Conor from behind. Then the other member threw a punch, ended up being a melee in the ring while Khabib was attacking the members outside the ring. I thought it was disgusting. I personally think, and Hermilo, I'll let you talk in just a second. I personally think, I'm going to go out right on the line, I'm a fan of Conor. I'm a fan of Khabib. Khabib is one of my absolute favorite people to watch in a UFC. But I personally think Khabib should be suspended. Khabib should be fined. And here's the big one. I think Khabib should be stripped of the title. With that, I'm going to throw it over to you, Hermilo. What do you think about what I just said? And do you agree, disagree? Tell me what you think. We have not had a chance to talk about this whatsoever, so I'm very curious to see what your take is on this.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking. I mean, it took me by surprise completely. I mean, after he choked out McGregor, and then that happened. I was so surprised, and one of the first things that I thought was, this is disgusting. This should not be happening. I get it. McGregor, with his antics, got in your head, insulted him, insulted Khabib, but this should not have happened. He should have been able to control himself, and I do agree. I think he should be stripped, and he should be fined. Now, there's one more thing that's probably going to happen. Not only is he going to have to deal with Nevada Commission and possibly the some sort of sanction from the UFC, but even Dana was saying that he might not be allowed to the country again to fight.
You know, his passport and things like that could be in serious danger. I don't know if it will be. When you have lawyers involved, you can stop a lot of things. A lot of that was brought up when Connor attacked the bus. And they were talking about they were worried that Connor will not be able to get a passport to fight back in the come back into the U.S. again. But when you have if you have quality lawyers, I don't think that will happen. But it is a possibility. I think there's a big difference, even though I thought Connor should have been suspended for what he did with the bus situation. What happened at this fight went way beyond what Connor did. When you're at a sporting event and a fighter literally jumps over the cage and attacks another guy, even though he was part of Connor's team, he literally, when he won, he turned, he threw his mouthpiece, started yelling at his corner. His corner yelled back. Khabib jumped over the fence and attacked them, stepped right on to the press area, knocked over a table, and the melee started. The second reason you have the fighter jumping into the audience, then you also have one guy coming in the door and confronting Connor when he's just, you know, trying to recover from being tapping out. And then to get a clear shot from behind as another guy climbs the cage and comes in and hits him from behind, all three guys ended up getting arrested. And the big thing is all three guys were arrested. They went to Connor for a statement, and Connor refused to press charges on those guys. So they were later released. What are you going to add? Then we're going to go to some of the comments from Dana White as well.
Yeah, I mean, so I was watching the video, and what happened was that, yeah, like you said, I mean, this should not have happened in terms of you see a man recovering from just being choked out or a neck crank, whatever you want to call it. That's just something you don't do. And not only that, I mean, the fact that Khabib stepped out, once you step out of that octagon and then somebody else, for example, somebody from the crowd, or in this case, Khabib's team, jumps in, that's a criminal act.
Yes, it is. It's very much that's a criminal act. Yes, it is. And that's where I had the biggest problem, because if you're there and you see him and he comes crashing across press row, crashing into the audience, and he starts pushing and throwing punches, and the melee strikes, it's a dangerous situation because that stuff spreads. And it starts off with Khabib in the audience, and then the guy defended himself. Then another guy defended himself. And then it just grows. I've been to many fights where that has grown, to a level where it's very dangerous. Dana talks about, you know, his concerns of trying to take care of the audience. Also, one of the things that I will say, and I think Tony Ferguson said it best, and that is, a lot of things are said and there's a lot of beefs that go on before the fight. No matter what is said, no matter what the beef is, it's settled in the ring. That's the point. That's one of the points of combat fighting, prize fighting, is I say what I say, you say what you say, but we meet in the ring, we have it out, and then it's squashed. We shake hands. I may not like you, you may not like me, but we squash that beef. But it never spills out into the audience, into a dangerous situation like this. What's your thoughts?
I mean, I agree, obviously. I agree that this should not go. Like,
and don't agree with me if you don't agree with me, because I really want to hear your thoughts.
I agree with that. I mean, I think, you know, for example, Khabib was saying, we're not going to shake hands. And that's fine. You don't have to shake hands.
Not even required. Well,
right,
not
you're
remotely
not required,
required
to shake hands. You don't have to be best friends if the beef is still there after the fight. That's fine if you have those feelings towards Conor. But you should have never acted in the way you did. Now, I'm not trying to justify what Khabib did or condone. But at the same time, it's a little difficult. Or I'm trying to understand where he's coming from. Because, I mean, Conor was insulting a lot of things that are very important or sacred to Khabib.
Yes, and that's some gamesmanship. And he crossed the line. And
I agree.
There's a lot of things that happen where he crossed the line, and I understand you're talking about spiritually, talking about his faith and his country and things like that. So I do understand why he was heated, just the whole concept going in the stage. But I want you to finish your statement.
Yeah, and I was just going to say, for example, I'm not a religious person, but having studied a little bit of religion, I just understand how important that it can be to people. So if you're talking about someone's religion, someone's people, nationality, race, that can really strike a chord.
Oh, absolutely it can.
So I think in that sense, Conor went, like you said, across the line. So maybe, even though it's just words, you know, you can say whatever you want, but maybe the UFC has to be a little bit more, I don't know, has a say in terms of like what people can say and cannot. I mean, it's a little bit difficult because you have all that speech and whatnot.
Right.
But it's, you know, you just, as a person, you know what line not to cross. And that I think that was just something that Conor shouldn't have done.
No, that's a great point. I mean, Conor's not 100% innocent in this. But when I was looking at more of the actions of diving into the stands. I kind of look at it, there are two different issues, which I do agree the UFC may have to start doing something to taper some of the comments that are made. But as a fighter, you should never climb over a fence and dive into the stands and start throwing haymakers, nor should you ever allow anyone, I don't care who it is, to climb over the fence and to strike one of your fighters. That's where I was the most disgusted by this whole situation.
Right, and I just, like I said, I want to repeat once again, we're not justifying, or I'm not justifying what Khabib did or his team. I'm just...
Yes, you are. No, I'm just joking. I'm totally joking there.
But trying to just, kind of have people understand how this happened.
Yeah, okay. Because I understand, because it's one of those things that you have to be fair and balanced, and you have to look at the whole picture and how things happen. Now, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to hear what Dana White had to say about this. So stay tuned, and we'll be right back.
Check out the show built around the women of MMA. From the UFC to the Extreme Cage Fighting, we got the fights covered.
Listen.
It's the Golden State Media Concepts Women's MMA Podcast. The latest news of upcoming fights, discussions of previous matches. Join us as we talk to and about the biggest names in women's mixed martial arts, past, present, and future. When it's the women's fight game, you know where to listen to. The Golden State Media Concepts Women's MMA Podcast.
Yeah, no, listen, being in there in the middle of this thing when it was going on, I felt that I have to start worrying about the fans and people that are inside the arena, media, the guys that are, that are there watching the fight. And I felt that if we put the belt on him in the middle of the octagon, it was going to rain. And I thought that people would throw whatever they had into the octagon, and I thought it would be a dangerous situation, so I didn't do it. I said, we're going to be lucky just getting him out of here without him getting pelted. So that's what we try to do.
All right. That was Dana White talking about why he did not put the belt on Khabib after tapping out Conor McGregor. because Khabib was in the ring and he was very upset and he really wanted Dana to put the belt around his waist and announce him as the new champ. The question came up, is Khabib champion? And so Dana is explaining why he did not put the belt around Khabib. What's your thoughts on about what Dana said and this whole transaction here?
I mean, it makes sense. I mean, just look at how the crowd was reacting. I think it was definitely a pro-McGregor crowd. So I think if that would have happened, mayhem would have broke out for sure. I mean, it kind of already did, but...
Mayhem. I was going to say, that ship had sailed. Mayhem was already in effect. The UFC did a really, really good job on making sure security was there or T-Mobile, the T-Mobile arena. But they did a really good job. So this, because this thing could have really grown to a, to, like I said, that Tyson Holyfield level. But, you know, I really agree with Dana. Dana at the press conference, I thought he was very informative. Like Dana gets accused of being a hothead sometimes, and I'm one of those people. But you could tell he was taking this thing very, very serious, and was addressing all the questions. Here's another part of some other statements from Dana.
He said, "Put my belt on me," and I said, "No, we're not going to put the belt on you because I think that the fans are going to go crazy and they're going to throw stuff in here." He says, I don't care. I'm ready for this. I said, yeah, well, the other 20,000 people that are sitting here and paid for tickets aren't ready for this. You know what I mean? And he said, if I have to be arrested, then I have to be arrested, but I want my belt put on me. And then finally, Cormier and Rockhold did a great job of helping contain, you know, the situation and get him out of there.
Now, do you agree what Dana did? Because I personally thought it was a smart decision to cool things down, because I think he's right. If when you're in that arena and if he puts that belt around there, first off, there's a lot of upset Irish fans, and that arena was packed with Irish fans. There's a lot of upset people, but there's also a lot of upset people and a lot of tempers flaring because Khabib had gone into the stands. And so I kind of looked at it dual. One, because of the fact that there's a lot of things that's going to happen, you know, not rewarding him by giving him the belt in the ring, but also taking into account how there's a lot of people in the stands that Dana White and the UFC is responsible for, and making sure that they get out of that arena and the people in the casino and around that area get out of that area without any harm happening. Because when I go back, and I keep going back to the Tyson Holyfield fight, it went through the stands into the arena, out on the streets. And that's where I praise the UFC for making sure that that didn't happen. What's your thoughts on about the fact that Dana did not put the belt on Khabib, and how they cleared the ring and then announced the outcome?
It was a wise move. I mean, I you know, when the fight broke out inside the octagon and then a little bit on the outside, I really thought the crowd was going to go, you know, like fans against fans.
I was truly worried about that. Yeah.
Oh yeah. I was just waiting for it. I thought, Jesus, what's gonna happen? But no, I think they defused the situation really well, given the time that they had. I mean, that was a wise move for him. And I mean, I think even Dana mentioned in some video that even the mayor of New York had a run out.
The governor of Nevada was there. And if you have a situation where the governor of Nevada is, they're getting the governor out of the arena because they're worried that it's going to turn into a full-fledged riot. You have a situation on your hands, and it's the UFC and primarily Dana White's responsibility to the fans at this point, more than even the fighters, because they come to the arena to watch an event and be safe, not to be part of a full on brawl. And, you know, and because of, like you said, some of the things that Connor said, it was countrymen versus countrymen, race versus other countrymen. It became a very personal thing. And that's what Connor, that's what Connor does to get in your head, that mental warfare. But this is when mental warfare has gone wrong. What do you say about that?
Even Khabib said it afterwards that he thought that, you know, he just didn't like the way the sport was functioning in terms of the showmanship and in terms of like the promotion of a sport. And he said that in part the media was to blame because they're all about trash talking and insulting people, or fighters insulting each other. And he's not about that. He said, we want to bring the sport back to what it should be, which is fighters respect each other, fighters respect the sport. And of course, when they get into the ring, they do what they have to do to each other. But
apologize about cutting you off. Don't you feel like trash talk is a part of the game of combat sports? Whether you are a kickboxer, a Muay Thai specialist, a boxer, or an MMA fighter, getting into the game and the mental warfare before that is, you know, that's how you sell the fight. That's how the reason why Khabib is making more money than he's ever made in his life off of this fight is because he's benefiting from the trash talk that Connor has made, the trash talk that he's done over the years with other fighters. That's how he built his name. That's the reason why we're trying to see, was it 2 million pay-per-view buys? Was it 3 million pay-per-view buys? Khabib didn't sell 2-3 million pay-per-view buys, which I personally think he's worth seeing. I mean, you know, Khabib is a must-see fighter. But the trash talk, the bravado that is Conor McGregor, is the reason why this is going to be the biggest payday of your life. You got to take that into account. I forget someone I was watching an interview with, and they were talking about fighting Michael Bisping, and Michael was talking all kind of trash and things, and then they went to the bathroom, and he went to the bathroom, and then the door opened, and another guy walks in the bathroom and goes to the urinal next to him, and he looks over, and it's Michael Bisping, who has just been talking all kind of trash. And Michael doesn't say one word to him. He just goes ahead and does his business, finishes up, washes his hands, turns to him and said, okay, back to the show. And he walks out, and then he starts talking smack about him again. You talk about going back to the 70s and Muhammad Ali and Joe Frazier. And Muhammad Ali had been stripped of the title because he didn't want to go to the Vietnam War. And he was trying to get a fight with Joe Frazier back, but Muhammad was kind of low on money, and Joe came to check on him and to see how he's doing. He offered him, you know, do you need anything or anything like that? And they were super nice. The minute that they stepped out of the building, Muhammad was saying, Joe Frazier's a bum, I'm going to whoop him up and all this stuff. It's the selling of the fight. You can't get the good without the bad. Does that make sense at all?
It does make sense, but I think I agree in the.
But there is now. I do admit being that crossing racial lines and crossing ethnic lines, are the same thing. But racial religious lines is a very fine thing and a slippery slope. So I do agree with you, but go ahead.
I don't think, I agree with you, for example, like if you, let's go with boxing, right? Since you've been talking boxing, there's a fight between Fury and Wilder coming up. And you can tell they've met before, and you know, they're really cool with each other, just hanging out. But once they go out to, you know, the media, then they start talking trash. I'm knock you out, you're a bum. But I don't think Connor and Khabib had that pre-agreed.
No, it's never, it would come off very fake if it was pre-agreed. part of, I think part of Conor's game is getting in your head in the mental warfare to take you out of your game. That's the reason why I had changed my opinion on who I thought was going to win. I had been saying, since this fight was announced, I have been consistently saying I thought Khabib was going to win, and I thought he was going to win in dominating fashion. But the reason why I changed my answer is because I could tell how much Conor had gotten into his head. And just like Jose Aldo, Conor had gotten really into Jose Aldo's head, and it allowed Jose Aldo to make a massive mistake. And so I changed my decision because of the exact same thing. I was worried that Khabib was going to make a massive mistake because of the anger that he did. It's not only Conor's bravado, Conor's statements. It's not just to sell the fight, but it's also to win the fight. His bravado before the fight is just as important as a lead kick or a tee kick or a push kick or a jab. It's one of the weapons in his arsenal that he uses to win a fight. And so that's the reason why I was saying that.
Right. No, but I just wanted to go back a little bit to the fact that you were talking about.
Yes.
That, you know, the whole trash talking is just part of just competition, you know, one man against one man or one woman against one woman, right? You believe you're going to beat them. There's a lot of, you know, anxiety. There's a lot of machismo, bravado. But I think Khabib, in a way, is somewhat right. He's like, but the media really likes to make things bigger than what they really are. You know,
Very much so.
It's almost like they pressure you to go even above and beyond just the normal level of trash talking they should be giving because you're a competitor and you truly believe you're going to beat your opponent. That's fine. But I think he is right. The media is really pushing, like, no, you got to give me more, like way more than what it really needs to be.
It's the world of worlds, of world star now. It's bigger. Better. You have to, in order to catch the media attention, you have to sell it and catch the media's attention. So you have to get bigger and bigger and more personal and more personal. And that's kind of what has happened. And this is the reason why Khabib was so upset. One of the things, you know, is, you know, when you're having something like this, this is the danger of it. I think we have another, so a little bit more from what Dana was saying last night as well.
The way that works is Conor was one of the guys who was attacked and things like that. Conor refused to press charges. So the guys that they did have, they've released. There were three guys from Khabib's team arrested. I think they were from Khabib's team. I don't know. That were arrested and they were released because Conor didn't want to press charges.
All right, and that's Dana talking about the fact that Conor did not press charges. And the reason why this clip is the perfect clip here is goes back to kind of what I said. Conor kind of gets that he was selling the fight. It's part of his game. But he knows that it's gotten personal, and the fact that he didn't press charges, I think it was the right decision because he knows. As you're selling fights and as you're talking and things, you're saying very personal things. He knows that he's crossed the line, so he understands why things get heated. Also, I think Conor knows that everything was settled in the ring. Conor actually put up a couple of tweets where he talks about, you know, good knockout, good stoppage, or. And he looks forward to the rematch. And then he had another tweet where he talks about how this is not the end of the Notorious One, and that he's looking forward to coming back and getting that rematch. What do you think about the Dana White's statement about the fact that Conor didn't press charges, and the fact that in his tweets he talks about how he still wants that rematch?
Well, it just shows what McGregor was talking about even before the fight happened, right, at the press conference, that he's back. I mean, he has all the money in the world, but he's still doing it because he truly enjoys and he loves the game. He loves the sport. So, I mean, we'll see what the rematch, I don't
Well, you know what? We'll stop it right there. Because what we're going to do, we're going to take a quick break. But when we come back, we're actually going to break down this fight. And we're going to talk about the fight. Because right now, everything we've been talking about is actually what happened after the fight. Now we're going to talk about the actual fight. Stay tuned, and we will be right back.
This is your ultimate stop for everything sports. The Golden State Media Concepts Sports Podcast. Should I say more? From the NFL, MLB, the NBA, to MMA, it's all in here. The Golden State Media Concepts Sports Podcast. Listen now.
All right, and we're back, and Hermilo and I have been talking about the Conor McGregor, Khabib Nurmagomedov, or Habib Nurmagomedov, and the outcome of all the craziness that happened after the fight, and also some of Dana White's comments from the press conference afterwards as well. Now we're going to actually go back and we're going to talk about the fight and what we saw and just kind of give our breakdown. So when you were watching this fight and when we're watching this fight here, the big thing I was expecting was because Conor had gotten into Khabib's head, I wanted to see, was Khabib going to either be cautious because of the comments and things that Conor has done, he'd gotten in his head, or was he going to come out guns a-blazing? And when I looked at this fight, the thing that I was surprised on is that Khabib got that takedown early. He got a takedown early, and he was able to ride it out. And I thought that took all the butterflies away and put Khabib in a comfortable place. At that point, that's when I knew that Conor was in trouble, because I thought Conor's biggest thing was catching Khabib while he's tight and finishing him. And that never happened. Khabib was able to settle in and get a takedown, get into a comfortable zone, and then you could see his confidence starting to grow and grow and grow. What did you see, Hermilo?
I was just very surprised. You know, one of the first things that I noticed, they walk in, you know, ready to go. They go, they get close to each other. But then McGregor's, pace. He was like very slow, almost like just trying to take it very easy. Like he was not doing what he was doing with Aldo, which is in and out, moving a little bit more. It's almost, I was thinking, is he trying to make it easy for Khabib to take him down? I mean, and then as soon as Khabib took him down, it's more like, okay, he's just going to try to weather it so he won't waste his energy. It's like, well, what are you doing? I mean,
I looked at it differently. One of the things about Conor is very, very efficient. And he's a very smart fighter in the ring. So when I looked at Conor as not coming out guns blazing, but I thought he came out with a tactical approach where if aggression would have been, I thought personally, the worst thing that could have happened for Conor. If Conor comes across the ring firing shots, it makes it easier for Khabib to hit him with a double leg and take him down and put him in a place where he didn't want to go. So I thought Conor was trying to be very measured and waiting, trying to bait Khabib in to fire a shot so that he could catch him. So that's the way I saw it.
Well, just for me, it was more like he wasn't using, because usually what he likes to do is use his distance, you know, move his legs so he can use distance. But he wasn't moving his legs. I mean, at one point he was actually squared. He was actually really close to Khabib. He wasn't actually moving back and forth, trying to like keep that distance to avoid the takedown.
Okay, and so I looked at it as, you know, because I understand, I remember that part when you're squared. A lot of times when you get squared, he will move his hands, his right hand and left hand back and forth. as a rangefinder. So that's I thought he was being measured, but the thing I was most surprised on was the Connor is one of the most explosive fighters you have when it comes to going backwards and catching you with that left hand. And he didn't do that. He actually became a very aggressive as far as not necessarily over aggressive, but he became the guy who was pressing the fight and making Khabib go backwards. And I think that was their game plan going into this. I think their game plan was to make Khabib go backwards, which would kind of take him off balance. But I thought it was the wrong decision, because I thought it should have been making Khabib chase him so that he could catch him with that left hand, kind of like the way Stipe, when he was fighting Fabricio Werdum, Fabricio started following Stipe around the ring, and then Fabricio eventually got caught because he was following. So I was kind of thinking that would have been the better approach, especially because you have so much power even when you're bagging away, as Connor did. So I thought it was a better decision. So I was really surprised that Connor became the aggressive move forward guy.
Exactly. That's what I was thinking. Like, that's what I mean by he really wasn't using his in and out motion to bait Khabib coming in. So, and he landed a few shots, but I never saw in the entire fight that, like, any worry in Khabib's eye about McGregor's offense or his punching power.
I thought it was like watching a motorcycle go up a ramp. The most nervous I thought Khabib was when they were in the ring and they were getting announced. And as things went on, as he got more and more comfortable with Connor, it grew. And when he got that takedown, Connor, catching Khabib before he loosened up went out the window. Connor did, you know, I will tell you this, Connor did a lot better on the ground than I ever thought he would. I thought that Connor would just get mauled and annihilated on the ground in the first round, but he actually had a very smart game plan. I liked how Connor kept making sure he grabbed on Khabib's hand. I liked how he kept grabbing kind of the tricep bicep area and up under the armpit of Khabib. That the reason why you do that is so that it really takes away the option of that ground and pound, that hook. It takes a lot off of it. It makes it harder for a fighter to fire a shot. So it was very obvious that Connor had really worked on how to, if you end up on your back, how to not get pounded like some of the other fighters did. When you were watching that ground and pound, when you were watching that first round and going into the second round, did you notice how Connor was using the hands to kind of protect himself?
Oh, yeah, I did. But also another thing that I think he did really, really well was on that first takedown, Khabib was trying to, which is what he does, trap Connor's legs with his own legs. And Connor was really good about, okay, he got them trapped and he would be able to sneak him out.
That was the one. And then now, see, that was the one thing that I don't think Connor was really prepared for. And I have yet to see anyone be prepared for that. Khabib, once he gets you down, he's like an anaconda with your legs. He wraps his legs around your legs so that you no longer have control of both of your legs. And if you can't get your base, then you can't get up. And so did you notice how he kept wrapping those legs throughout? And with him wrapping up the legs, Connor had to expel a lot more energy to get up. So that was one of the things that everyone who has faced Khabib runs into, that same issue. And I thought, ingenious. And so he was making Connor, even though Khabib maybe in the first round wasn't destroying Connor on the ground, and into the second round he wasn't destroying Connor, he made Connor tired. Could you see it as he was getting that he was getting tired?
I was just gonna say that. I mean, the first round, like I said, it was obvious that Conor was like, okay, he just dropped me. Breathe.
Yes, relax. Exactly.
You can see it in his face. But then, yeah, by the middle of the second round, okay, this is taking a toll on Conor. And a little bit of Khabib, but not so much.
Yes, but there's a big difference. When you're on top, even if you get a little winded, you're still using momentum and his power to really start to clock Conor. Midway through, you could tell Conor had gotten tired. Conor was in trouble. Once Conor... I was never worried about Conor up against the ring, up against the cage. It's when Conor had his back on the ground. That's when it seemed like he was in the biggest trouble. And I don't know, even when you look at it, it was night and day. Once Conor became flat on the ground, on the canvas, Conor had no answer for Khabib at that point. As long as he could keep his back on the cage, he was okay. One of the things I did think was funny that Herb Dean did not catch is Khabib, I think this was at the end of the second round, Conor was grabbing his gloves in the inside. That is clearly illegal. And he did that like three or four different times for long periods of time, and Herb Dean never caught that. That's that crafty veteran move that he was doing to try to save himself from getting pounded, and Khabib was getting very upset with that. But it was a smart move because it saved Conor some serious beating.
Which just shows that even though Conor is, what, 30?
Yes.
He's long the tooth.
Yeah, he's been doing this a while. Now, when the finish came, I looked at it as this. Conor had gotten tired. Khabib was starting to break his will. At the end of the second round, he had a Kimura on him. And I was like, oh, God. If Khabib gets that Kimura on, it's over. And I don't know if he's going to let him out. But Conor was able to get out of that Kimura. But at the end, when Khabib, one of the things is when a fighter turns and gives their back, it's one of those things where it's like, it's either one, desperation, or two, they're really ready to give up, or three, both. And I kind of felt like when Conor gave his back up, it was kind of both. I thought he was pulling out a Hail Mary. But if it didn't work, he was ready to give because the rear naked choke was on the chin. And so he was in no danger of going out. You can't put a person out with a rear naked choke across the chin. It has to be up under the neck to be in serious danger. The one thing, from someone who has been in a rear naked choke across the chin, it does hurt like crazy, but I think if Conor truly thought he had an answer for Khabib's ground game, I don't think that rear naked choke would have gotten him. I think at that point he realized that he was in a big trouble and just decided it was time to give up. What do you agree, disagree?
No, I agree. I just wanted to add that when I saw that McGregor gave his back, I got a flashback into the Nate Diaz McGregor.
Yes, very much so.
Same move, the same thing.
And you know, I don't think it is. I don't look at it as a coward's way out or anything like that. To me. I looked at Conor as that consummate professional, that cerebral fighter. Where I think Conor knew it was time to live to fight another day. The better man was Khabib. And I know I need to go back to the drawing board, sticking this out. There's nothing good's going to come out of this. Maybe it's time to give it up. And so that's kind of the way I took it, is like he was calling it a day.
I'm also just wanted to bring something back before we
end up wrap up here. Okay.
Segment. But did you notice in the third round, because I figured, okay, he's on the ground. That's where Khabib is king. That's where he dominates. But in the third round, there was a solid minute and a half where they were actually standing. And that's when I thought, okay, this is when McGregor can actually show what he can do, start landing that left, you know, set him up. And that never happened. If anything, I think Khabib, I don't know if it was in the third or the second, he landed a huge right hand that dropped McGregor.
Great point. Okay. When I looked at this, the first thing is that first huge shot that was in the second round, I think it was. I believe it was the second round. It was first or second round, the big shot that landed. I looked at it as Connor, and if you go back and you watch it, and I've watched it a couple of times, Connor is clearly concentrating on making sure, because he's in Khabib's firing range. And I think Connor was more concerned about, I'm in his range, make sure he doesn't hit me with a double leg and take me down. And I felt like he was concentrating so much on the double leg that wild looping overhand right just connected flush. And Khabib nailed him and rocked him.
Dropped him.
Yes. Now, in the third, what you're talking about, at that point, this is one of the things that I have learned over the years by watching MMA, fighting boxing, and, you know, you've boxed as well. Mm-hmm. When you take a big guy, a big, strong guy with a lot of power, one of the best ways to negate a fighter's power is to drag him to deep water, start drowning him, make him tired. The more tired you get, the less power you have. The biggest pop Connor has is in the first round, the second round. When it rolled to the third round and Khabib had been riding on him for so long, I thought he took a lot of starch out of Connor. And at that point, Khabib was able to operate because he was no longer as dangerous as he would be in that first or second round. Instead of him worrying about the cobra striking you, you could actually settle in and take more chances. And that's when Khabib got super comfortable. And that's when I said, at that point, you could see the starch was out of Connor. Connor's stamina, who has been known for having stamina issues, his stamina had betrayed him by sapping his power. He didn't get tired and weak and sloppy like he did in the Diaz fight, but it showed, his stamina showed, as in that he had stamina issues because he lost a lot of power.
And that's exactly why I was so surprised, like I was saying earlier, that he did not come out a little bit more active.
Yes.
The first, second round. That's why I was like, you might get tired, especially when the wrestling, because it was a matter of time before they went on the ground.
Right. And so I thought he did that. That's why I said, that's why I thought he came in early on a measured pace, because he didn't want to make the mistake that he did in the Diaz 1 fight, where he came out guns blazing and then guess got tired and then his stamina betrayed him. But this time, I personally think, kind of like with you, I think Connor should have taken the Diaz 1 approach, which is come out firing. He should have came out firing with the intention of finishing Khabib off in the first, early second round, because all the experts, everyone that was watching, that leading up to this, knew that if it got past a round and a half, 2 rounds, that Connor was in big trouble. So why not just put it all out there and just go firing? So I think the strategy of trying to put pressure on Khabib, the strategy of kind of pacing yourself, it was clear they had a game plan. I just don't know if they had the right game plan.
Right, I agree with you. And I'm actually surprised that it lasted as long as it lasted, because after the first round, I thought it's probably going to be over in one more round. It went to the fourth.
Okay, so we're going to wrap things up. But before we wrap things up, with the fact that Connor tweeted that you know, that he does want a rematch and he does want this fight again, from what you saw this time, do you think Connor can make the adjustments to make this a closer fight?
I think so. I mean, he's a very smart fighter. He's a guy that's always working. He's never, how do you say it? He's never content. You can just tell he just wants to get better and better and better. But I just think if there was to be a rematch, the first 2 rounds, you just take full advantage and try to end or try to finish Khabib, because other than that, I don't think his stamina is going to improve, and let's say they fight in September. Because
the stamina has been a factor in the Mayweather fight. Both Diaz fights. That's his and in this fight, his last four fights, stamina has been a major issue. So when I look at this and I say, I think this could be an even dangerous, even a scarier fight for Conor, because now that Khabib has gone through this situation, the mental warfare won't be in Conor's favor this time. He's been there. He's walked through the fire, and he's ready. He'll be ready for Conor, which makes it a much tougher fight. And has Conor's ground game improved? It has improved, but Khabib has done, you know, what he's done to Conor to world-class wrestlers. I don't think Conor can get his wrestling game to another level where he can negate Khabib's ground game. Khabib trains on a daily basis with Olympic champions, aka Olympic champions. He has Daniel Cormier, Luke Rockhold, Cain Velasquez. He has some of the best wrestlers ever to lace him up there. So Khabib's wrestling is always going to be far superior, and I just don't see how he can close the gap there as far as how they're going to be able to handle the grappling. And so Khabib's stand-up game could get better, but I don't think Khabib's mean that Conor's wrestling game. So I think of it as a very tough mountain to climb.
But now, questions. So based on how dominant Khabib was, would you even want to see a second fight between those two?
Okay, that's a great question. My answer, if the person that was across the ring was not Conor McGregor, the answer would be no. And as a matter of fact, I think the UFC would say no. But it's Conor McGregor. And Conor McGregor is the biggest box office draw there is. And because of that, Conor gets what he wants. And Conor's not afraid of anyone. He will take that fight.
All right.
All right. With that, this concludes our recap of the main event of UFC 229. Tomorrow we'll touch on some of the ramifications of what comes out in the news about this fight, but then we're also going to break down some of the other fights on this card. So stay tuned, and we'll be back tomorrow.
Check out the show built around the women of MMA. From the UFC, Invicta FC, Bellator, and ONE Championship, we got the fights covered. It's the Golden State Media Concepts Women's MMA Podcast. The latest news of upcoming fights, discussions of previous matches. Join us as we talk to and about the biggest names in women's mixed martial arts, past, present, and future. When it's the women's fight game, you know where to listen to the Golden State Media Concepts Women's MMA Podcast.